You all tonight in our Youth Sunday, and a special word of welcome to those visiting. Our first hymn is Yet Not I, which isn't in the hymn books, but our choir is going to come to us to help us do that, so just invite the choir to come up now. James Logan now to pray.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for bringing us all here tonight, Lord. We want to thank you for the message that we received this morning from Nigel, Lord. We want to thank you for bringing him here, Lord, and giving him a word, Lord, in time, Lord, to reveal unto us, Lord, and to teach us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the children who took part this morning, Lord, and for all the young people who are taking part this evening, Lord, and for everybody who is in attendance today, Lord. And we just pray that we'll all be blessed, Lord, and we will be challenged by the message that we will receive and by the words that we will hear sung, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace, O Lord. I want to thank you for your character that you give us, that you have, Lord. I want to thank you for your justice and for your mercy, Lord, and the fact that you reached down to save us from a lost eternity, Lord. I want to thank you for your saving, for the Saviour, Lord, as he died for us on the cross, Lord, and for the blood that was shed upon that cross for the remission of sins, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray now that as the choir comes to sing again, Lord, just that you will bless them, Lord, and help them and keep them, Lord, and Lord, just look after our young people, Lord. Keep them close to you, Lord. Keep them focused in on you, Lord. And just pray that you will retain them, Lord. For you hold on to us, Lord. It's nothing of our works, Lord. So, Lord, just please help us now, Lord. We ask all of this in your holy and worthy name. Amen.
Just going to invite the choir up once again to sing for us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ.
thank you, choir. So I'm just going to invite Brother Nigel Kizik up now.
Thank you, son. You're very kind. Well, good evening, everyone. I'm telling you. Well, I don't know what to say, folks, but all I'm going to say is that to me, anyway, that was powerful altogether. You young people have done exceptionally well, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a guest speaker. I'm not, you mean, just because I'm a guest. I'm not trying to appease you, or I'm not trying to butter you up by any means. I'm just telling you the honest truth. And sometimes, you know, it encourages our hearts to see. Well, not sometimes. It does encourage our hearts to see these young ones taking part. And I hope tonight that you're encouraged. These young ones taking part, whether it be in the singing or the playing these instruments, I think it's a lovely thing to see it done, and endeavour to see these young folk integrated into church life. And dearly, what I personally, for me anyway, it's great to see a sort of a team play here, whereby it's just not all about one person, but it's about different people having a part to play in the church of God. And we're all part of that. We're all part of that plan. We're all gifted in different ways, very, very different gifts. But the thing is, we're going to have to use our gifts for the Lord if we want to see His work going forward. And so we're going to read together. I was hoping you were going to sing again, for I was going to make a wee visit to a certain room, so I'm not going to be long to you now. But anyway, sure your man, he just says, come on ahead, Brother Nigel. So that was me. So if I'm short and sweet, you'll know why. I'm just going to tell you the honest truth now. But anyway, so let's turn tonight in our Bibles to 1 Kings in chapter 2. I'm sure it's a sermon message you've heard before, but sometimes people ask the question, is it possible for the young and the old to walk together? That's the big question, because we live in a generation whereby, well, that's, you know, some people associate certain churches with, well, that's only for the old and fuddy-duddy people, because them boys, they never move. And then there's other churches, and that's for the young people. And in the Bible, folks, there's no such thing as young and old people or young and old churches. You know, the reality is churches were meant to be one body. Young and old together, working together, laboring together in the gospel. And I'm convinced, folks, it's part as much of the fact, it's not just the fact that the young are trying to take over, but also, well, the old are wanting to a certain degree let go of the reins and let young ones, fresh blood, come in with new ideas. Not forgetting just because by doing that we're trying to undermine things of the past, but we're endeavouring to see new blood coming on and seeing them growing, and then another generation coming on after them. Because the reality is, if we live in the past with an older generation, the reality is, if we have no young ones to bring on the work, the difficulty is going to be for us in the future. The work will close. And you say, well, all that will never happen. But the reality is, if you look in Scripture, you see works of God that close. If you go into the book of Revelation, you'll see the church, these churches, the Laodicea, the different churches, and how that their candlestick went out. And so I'm going to say, we read here in 1 Kings in chapter 2 about the young and the old working together and walking together. That's very important. Not just working together, but walking together in the work of God. And let me read to you. I might maybe make a few comments as we pass, and then we'll see how we get on. But let's read in 1 Kings in chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. Sorry, 2 Kings in chapter 2. Did you get that now? I was just checking. Were you all with me now? Not one of you said a word to me. You're very gracious here in Bali. But anyway, 2 Kings in chapter 2. Where's that young fellow that was leading the meeting? That's his fault, for he didn't let me out. That's your fault, son. But anyway, I'm only blaming you. I'm only joking you, son. 2 Kings in chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they two went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy head, or take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And it came to pass when, or sorry, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, and when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, as thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now we're going to end our reading there at verse 11, and we know that, Lord, this is his inspired word, and that's just a wee word of prayer just before we ask the Lord's blessing to be upon his word this evening. Our Father, we thank you for the contribution of these young people tonight. Should we say, Lord, young people and young adults, our evening service. And Lord, it encourages us tonight to see, Lord, young people who are willing to stand and be a witness for you. We live in a generation that is secularized and, Lord, commercialized. And Father, everything that is sadly against your word. And so, Lord, it does our hearts good to see young folk who are willing to make a stand for you, even here in familiar surroundings in their home church. And tonight we pray, not just will you bless these young lives, but we pray most of all, Lord, that you'll guide them with your very own hand and eye. And Lord, you remind us in your word that you will instruct us and teach us in the way which we shall go, and you'll guide us with your eye. And so, Lord, we pray this might be their portion, Lord, even for the future. Now tonight, we specifically ask, Lord, even for now, for these remaining moments, that you might encourage our hearts together around your precious word. We pray, Lord, that you might encourage not just the young, but the old also, that together, that their hearts might be blessed as they come to worship and praise your name. Again, for your goodness we thank thee, and for your help we seek thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Two men on a journey, and as already intimated, two men on a journey together. And so it encourages my heart tonight, whether you be young, for young people, and for those who are slightly older than young now, or now we're now call them older people, I'm going to say to you the reality is that both can walk hand in hand, and both ought to be encouraged to walk hand in hand. And I'm going to say at the very outset, maybe you're a lot older this evening and can vaguely remember whenever you were these young people's age. Maybe you have been blessed tonight through these young people singing. Then I want to say to you, before you leave this service night, make sure you come along and take their hand and encourage them. Because as you make your life way through journey, there will be plenty of things that will discourage you and very few things that will encourage you. And it was the exact same for this young man called Elisha. We know a lot about these men, for example. We know a lot about a man called Elijah. We could say he's now coming to the end of his ministry. He's coming to the end of his period of time on earth, because we know he's about to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. We know that's only a factual thing. And I'm not a deep enough theologian to be able to tell you how long Elijah was living at this particular stage. But we know he's had his ups and downs in life. We know he's had his mountaintop experiences. We also know he's had his valleys. And so tonight, maybe as a lot older, you're looking back over life and you can say, like Elijah, you've had your mountaintops, and as much as your mountaintops, you've also had your valleys. And we know if we go way back in 1 Kings 18, we remember how that we're told the story, how that whenever Elijah would stand before 450 prophets of Baal, and then also the prophets of the grove, and then there was also all of Israel would stand before him, and Elijah would stand on his own. And this man of God, you could say there's the man, this man Elijah, there was availability where his life was concerned. There was stickability where his life was concerned, and there was endurability where his life was concerned. Because we find that even unto the end, he's still pursuing after God. He's still pursuing after the things of God. And so it reminds us, folks, just as we get older, there's the reminder for us, even that we are older, we need to remind ourselves that we still ought to keep ourselves available to God. That's important now. Just because I've got a certain age, well, I have done my duty now, I'm going to let somebody else. Now, yes, there is a perspective whereby you want to pass on the baton. You want to make sure that you pass on the baton to another generation, that they will be faithful concerning the things of God. But not us do we need to remind ourselves that we've got to remind that we're going to keep ourselves available to God, but we've got to remind ourselves that there's that stickability. Sometimes things don't always go the way we want it. And we're reminded this morning with a little screw. The screw, what it does, it holds things together. And we are, as a fellowship and as a family in God, where it's up to us now to try and, with the help of God and with the strength of God, to stick together in the work of God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you always agree with everything, but there's got to be grace in your life to sometimes accept change. And not sometimes that change is not always bad and it's not always wrong, but just sometimes there's change. For example, all things around us change. We look in the mirror and our faces change. We look in the mirror and our heads change. Some of us come to remember back whenever we had a head of hair, and some of us look in the mirror and there's not a peck of hair on us. Life's about change. We remember whenever we were once single and now maybe we're change has brought a partner into our life, a man or a woman, a wife or a husband, should I say. And that change then brings little ones along the way, and then that change brings in them little ones, then they find themselves a partner in life, and then they have a... And so life is full of change now. It's full of change. And through that change, as a parent, your endeavor, as a father, especially on Father's Day, you've spent your life trying to, as a father, trying to direct your family accordingly. That they might endeavor to hold on to those same principles that you held on to, that your father passed to you. And then there comes a time when you let them go and say, now, son or daughter, now you've got to make choices, and the choices that you make will determine your future. Sometimes they make wrong decisions. Sometimes they make wrong choices. Does that mean that we throw them out and cast them away and say, well, that's it, I'm done with you? Not a bit now. That's where we endeavor to show grace into their lives. And just as we experience grace, even though we at times were extremely foolish, very foolish in our ways, in our choices, but still we endeavor with the help of God to show grace into their lives that we might encourage and help them to get back onto the right path. There ought to be available, there ought to be stickability, but also there ought to be endurability. Because I say to you that life's not always easy. 1 Kings 18, Elijah finds himself, as you know, standing before these prophets. And man, he is, you could say he is at the pinnacle of his ministry. He's at the very top of his ministry. He has literally seen the fire of God falling down from heaven through his prayer. Now, I have met many a godly man in my lifetime, and many of those, I would say the majority of those godly men that I have met have never stood behind a pulpit, have never necessarily preached a sermon. But man, I'm telling you, it's like the old preacher said, or the old historian said at one occasion, he said, preach a sermon all times, and if necessary, use words. Well, I'm telling you, that's exactly what they did for me. They preached a sermon to me, but never once spoke a word. How is it possible to preach a sermon or preach the gospel all the time without words? Well, you work that out, and if you can't work it out, come on, chat to me afterwards, and I'll just share it with you very simply. He was at the very top whereby when this man of God would pray, fire of God would fall from heaven. I don't know if there's ever places, you know, there's wee antidotes into scripture whereby you see wee things and you think to yourself, boy, would it not have been amazing to be there? Like, would you not love to stand with Noah as he pleads with the people to bring them into the ark? Just stood beside him, just to be like a flay on the wall, to be able to watch, to see the expressions of people. Imagine that day when Elijah would pray and lo and behold, then the fire fell. And man, everything was great. But I'm going to say to young people, and you older folk know this, you can't live on the hilltop. You can't live on the hilltop. It's not on the hilltops where you'll learn life's lessons and sometimes the lessons that God wants to teach you. Sometimes the lessons you learn most are in the valleys. Now, for those of you who are older, don't need me to tell you that because you've experienced that for yourself. But you young people now, let me tell you something. Life is full of many valleys. And sometimes in those valleys, it's extremely lonely. Sometimes in those valleys, it's extremely discouraging. And sometimes in those valleys, it leads us to sometimes times of deep depression. Whereby I say, Lord, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this. And Elijah was such a man. And now he's old. But he still remained faithful to God. They get this young man, Elisha, and what do we find with him? We find this young man, he's starting out in his work. Whether you could say he's starting out in his walk with God, or whether you want to say he's starting out in his work for God, but one thing you find with him, and he was filled with enthusiasm, filled with zeal. It does our hearts good, folks, whenever we see young people with a bit of enthusiasm, a bit of fire in their bellies, doesn't it? Do you not agree with me? You can give me a nod, because I know you good folk are like my wee home church in Moneymore where I grew up at, and I would be the exact same. We don't really do much talking. Now, we do plenty of talking outside church, but during the service, we don't do a whole pile of talking. Do you not agree with me? It's good to see a bit of enthusiasm. You just nod your head. It does do your heart good, folks. It does your heart good to see young people with a smile in their faces whenever they're singing these great hymns. It does our hearts good. Many of us can look back and remember days when our hearts were full with enthusiasm for God. Many of us. Whenever the old hymn writer was a Cowper, was that what his name was? William Cowper. Where is the blessedness when first I sought the Lord? Where is that soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memory still, but boy, they have left an aching void this world can never fill. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. And for many of us, or dare I say for some of us, we have lost our enthusiasm. We have lost our zeal. Because we're very content now just to come along to church on Sunday morning and come along maybe on a Sunday night and to sit in our pew and we hear of great things happening in all our churches and all our fellowships, and we go along and we get into the buzz of it, and we think, well, how come they're so, and we, it amazes me how that folks can go to different churches and they get all this so excited and they come back to their own church and say, but our church is not that excitable. It's like a young man said to me one time whenever I was putting on a roof in my garage. He was a joiner and I was a butcher, and he said to me, he says, Nigel, he says, I go to our church prayer meeting, he says, but they're all old people. Well, young people, I want to encourage you young people. Just as much you encourage the folks tonight, can I encourage young people? Like Lage and Lisha, come along, do your best to try and get along to the prayer meeting. He said to me, Nigel, I've sort of stopped going to the prayer meeting, because he says, you know why, they're all old people. And he says, I just don't feel I want to be involved in it. And he says, yeah, you can make a difference. He says, what do you mean? He says, you start going and start being the young people to make a difference. Now, young ones, I'm not here to hard time you or give you a hard time. It's very easy to be critical of a prayer meeting and say, oh, it's dead and it's all these things. But it's only going to remain. I'm not, now don't think by any means I'm saying that your prayer meeting, don't be thinking I'm implying that your prayer meeting is dead now. I'm not saying that now. What I'm saying is, sometimes we say, oh, the prayer meeting's dead, I ain't going. But the reality is, folks, it's never going to change if you don't make a difference. It's never going to change. It's still always going to be old people. It's always going to be older folk who go, because, well, us young people, we don't. Here was these two men, and they walked together. They didn't have their separate groups. The young ones, the Elisha didn't have his wee prayer meeting, and Elijah didn't have his prayer meeting. These both folks went together. We live in a clientele, a generation here whereby, you know, we have, and it's lovely, it really does our hearts good to see Youth Sunday and giving you a wee platform to participate in the church service. But the whole thing is, it's all about being in a family. And what you contribute to the family is what you get out of the family. You know that, don't you now? You always get people in the house, in your own family, and come Christmas Day, they'll always sit and, dare I say it, sit in their tail end and want to be weighted and lifted and led all day. You just carry the food to them, and then you just lift up after them, and then you wash the dishes after them, and then you bring the dessert to them, and they still sit there, and then you carry it away, and they still sit there. I'm thinking, it's not about time you got up and did a bit of dishes. Don't carry your workload. Is that happening in your house? I don't say if it happens. It doesn't actually happen. Well, I do 50% of the work. The wife cooks it and I eat it. So I think that's pretty good. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, folks, it's all right being critical of church now. Well, it's not all right to be critical of church. But if you don't put anything into it, don't expect to get anything out of it. It's as simple as that, dear people. And if you just want to see Believe Baptist with fresh zeal and fresh fire and fresh enthusiasm, just like these young people, to see a bit of joy in their hearts, it's time to put something into the work. We're standing back and we're happy to drift in this. Now, this has nothing to do with my ceremony. I'm only in the introduction. And look at the time, it's 7:20, and I'm looking to get to the wee room. Dear knows what time we'll get there tonight. It's Tara. But you know what I'm going to say? This is the whole thing, folks. And we'll sit back and say, oh, well, that's just the way church is. Make a difference, people. Dare I say it, make a difference. You young people. Let me say this to you. Three times you'll find, as this young man, Elisha, is traveling with the old man, what does he find? I'll tell you, he finds discouragement hitting him straight on the face. Because there's these boys that come along, and they say, that, you see it in verse 3, it says, Elijah and the sons of the prophets that were Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy head from the, take away thy head today, or thy master from the head today? And he said, what? He says, I know what you're telling, but just hold your tongue. Say what you want about my master, but I'm traveling with him. This is where God has placed me. This is where God has sent me. This is the man I'm going to work with. This is the man I'm going to walk with. And I'm not walking away from him, no matter what you say. Young people, let me say something to you. Some people might say, oh, where do you go? Oh, we go to Billy Baptist. Ah, shit. Blah, blah, blah. And there'll be plenty of people discourage you. Plenty of people discourage you. Oh, they're them boys there. They're only King James only. And women have to wear hats. And you have to wear a suit. And let me say something to you. There's plenty of people will discourage you from even way, even maybe you might even come, dare I said, come to Believe Baptist. Just as Elisha was finding discouragements here. But Elijah knew where he was where God wanted him to be. And that sealed the approval that no matter what happened or no matter what anybody said, he was still going to follow after his God and follow after his master. Young people, if you are convinced in all your heart, and I know some of you are here, and I know that one of the reasons why you come here is because this is where your parents come. But there'll come a time, just like for all of these adults here, there comes a time when we seek God's will, say, Lord, where do you want me to serve you? Where do you want me to hang up? Where do you want me to hang up my hat? Where do you want me to get stuck into the work at? Because my dear friend, dare I say it, there's a wee man who come from Lisburn. And people used to come to me, he was a church secretary. And his name wasn't Davy, or their present secretary. But he used to come to me after the service and say, oh boys, I'm a sort of a wee bit, I'm a bit discouraged. He says, they were mumbling and grumbling. And they were so unhappy, and they're unhappy about this and unhappy about that. And this is the old fellow said to them. He said, sir, you and I'm going to tell you, do you see if you're unhappy? There's only one door you need to look for, and it's the back door. And it's time you went out it, and don't bother coming back. Folks, if you're not happy in Believe Baptist, don't sit and every Sunday grumble and complain and moan and gripe and all these things, and then leave the house of God, and then go home and sit around the lunch table and grumble and complain in front of your children. Because you know what you're going to raise? You're going to raise grumbling and complaining children. Because they're just following your example. If this is the place where God has called you, and young people, there'll come a time when you'll have to kneel your colours to the mass and say, this is it now. I don't care what anybody says about me, this is the place. This is where I know God wants me to be. Just as it was for Elijah, and just this was this young man Elisha, he would say, Master, I'm following you. Come what may, I ain't going to leave you. And there will be discouragements. And people will discourage you. But if you know this is where God wants you to be then this is the place you get stuck under the work. Stuck under the work. Can I encourage you, especially young ones tonight, very simply, on this just Sunday, and please forgive me, I have not come here with the intention rattling anybody or trying to get your heckles up. This has not been my intention. I mean this with all my heart now, as God is my witness. I have not come with any preconceived ideas of what I'm going to say. I'm not. These men went on you could say there were four or five stages in this journey. They came to a place, the first place they stepped out was from a place called Gilgal. It's representative of a place called Rolling. It's the place where the journey began. And that's very important, because the reality is it was a place of rolling. It reminds me of that great story, that great book. Some reckon it was the second greatest piece of English literature ever written. It's written by a man called John Bunyan. The book's called Pilgrim's Progress. Our principal in Bible college, his name is Dr. Peckham. He's gone to be with the Lord. He said, listen, every Christian should read this book called Pilgrim's Progress. On the day when Pilgrim found Christ, it was the day whenever he was carrying this great burden of sin, that he was buckled over with this terrible load on his back, and he looked to the cross. And the moment he looked to the cross, that which bound him and bound him out, doubled over, broke free and rolled down the hill. And it's the picture of rolling. Whereby, remember what the psalmist says? The psalmist says, Isaiah the prophet said, I even I am he who blots out your transgressions, and for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins no more. It's this wonderful truth whereby this place where they began in the journey was the place where they have been, were a place of rolling, a place of forgiveness. Can I tell you something? Whether you're a young person or you're older, you'll only start in your journey with God by first being in this place, getting to the place called Calvary, the place where your sins are removed and forgiven and your sins are rolled away. Now, the old chorus we used to sing, remember late Sam Workman, we used to go to some missions. My mother was converted on late Sam Workman. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. And the burden of my heart, what? It rolled away. All the sin had to go neath this cleansing flood. And that's as much as I remember of it. But that's as far as it goes. But it was the picture of the rolling away. They went from there, they went to a place called Bethel. Bethel is split into two parts, and Beth means house and El means God. But those of you theologians here, you'll know that this evening. Put the two words together, Beth and El, you've got house and you've got God. You've got house of God. When you find forgiveness, you enter into fellowship with the Father. It's as simple as that now. You can't find fellowship. People talk about fellowship, talking about the weather and talking about motors and talking about the price of beef and talking about the price of lamb or talking about woman's clothes. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is talking about the things of God. That's what true fellowship is. Fellowship is about, can I say this to you very quickly? Fellowship is about walking with Christ. And some of us struggle in our walk with Christ. So I don't stand here tonight and say to you, oh, my walk with Christ is rosy. It's far from it now. And some of you folks, if you were being honest with me tonight, you would say to me, without a doubt, my walk with God is not easy. I don't find it easy. But it's about walking with Him. Remember how that it was said of Enoch, and it was said of Noah, Enoch chapter in Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God. He walked with Him. Fellowship is not just about walking, but fellowship is about abiding. John 15. Vine and the branches. Remember, before the mission I did for you over in Kolobaki, one Wednesday night, was it Thursday night, we were sharing about the vine. The branch is grafted into the vine. Beautiful picture for us, folks. What does it mean? It means that we have fellowship with the Father. Because our source of life is not coming from me, but it's coming from the vine. That's the picture now. Fellowship is not only about walking and abiding, but it's also about forgiving. But we know that, don't we? The reason why we are in fellowship with the Father is because He has forgiven us. But remember as we were taught in the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, the Lord is, remind me, why did it call remind me, it's just left me. I'm taking a senior moment. What's the first line of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, that's it. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. For what reason? That we might forgive those who trespass against us. That's when you could say, like, the rubber hits the road. Because I'll say to young people, life in front of you is not always easy. Now, I don't want to paint a glum picture, and some of you folk at home say, boys, you made that wild. Them young people are going to say, what's life? Life is not always easy. I may say, young people, see some of these folks all through church here tonight and up on the balcony. Life hasn't been easy for them. Far from easy. They've had tragedies. They've had heartbreaks. They've had times when they haven't had two pennies rubbed together. They wonder how they're going to make ends meet. But there's one thing that has remained constant at all times. Because of fellowship, we have a faithful God. And he remains faithful. From there, they go to a place called, was it Jordan? Jericho, sorry. Verse 4. From forgiveness to fellowship, the place where they, you could say the place Jericho was the place that they overcame. You remember this massive city. And I'm convinced here that one of the reasons why Elisha would join Elijah was because God was preparing him for the journey ahead of life. And one of the things, young people, one of the maybe part of the reasons, I really felt that the Lord laid this wee message on my heart tonight. And as you were singing about overcoming, you were singing about fellowship with God, and you're singing about an altar, and I thought to myself, you know, maybe it's just God's wee seal of approval for a meeting tonight and for a service this evening. Can I say something to you? Through life, you'll have many Jerichos, and what those Jerichos are these things in our lives, and I'm saying, Lord, I just can't overcome this. And that might, for you, it might be exams. You say, Lord, I'm never going. Now, for me, it made no odds about exams. I couldn't care less if I failed or passed. It really didn't. The problem was not with me. The problem was always with the teacher. It's her fault. If she had set the mark at 30 instead of 50, I was flying every day. I had no bother. But that was only me personally. But for you, you might be very methodical. You might be very much into school, and may the Lord bless you for it. I was at the back of the queue. But let me say something to you. There will be things throughout life whereby they will seem unovercomable. That's not the right word, but they'll just seem you'll not be able to overcome them. Like giants. And you say, Lord, I just can't. Sometimes those giants aren't external. Sometimes those giants are internal. I read a wee quote this week, and I hope I can remember it. I didn't jot it down, which I should have done, but it said that the Christian's biggest struggle is with self. The Christian's biggest struggle is with self. Because self wants to go its own way. Self loves praise. Self loves this sense whereby people acknowledge me. People speak well of me. Self wants to wee clap on the back and say, boys, you're a powerful fella. Now, don't get me wrong now. I believe every one of us ought to be encouragers, like Barnabas was, an encourager. That doesn't cost money to be an encourager. And dare I say it, some of you older folk tonight, some of you need to take a dose of Barnabas' medicine and encourage these young people. Encourage them, that even though that they're at school. And I'm telling you, I hated school, but I wouldn't even want to be at school today. Even if you paid me, I still wouldn't be there. Some of the things that these young people are facing in school today is far worse than ever I was in school. But here these people are, this man, and he's on this journey from forgiveness to fellowship. Come to this place where they overcome, a place called Jericho. And then from there was Jordan, and the Jordan reminds us very simply of dying to the old self. Die unto the old self. Because it's Jordan. I know there's an old hymn writer, and the hymn writer pens the words, "When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside," and so forth. And sometimes it's representative of physical death. Personally, I don't think it represents physical death. I believe it represents a die unto self. It's like what old W.P. Nicholson spoke about the day in Bangor on the along the main street, when he would kneel down with the old Salvation Army officers and the ladies as they were singing, and he could hear the people laughing. But W.P. Nicholson said, the day that happened to me, John 12:24 became real to my life. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground, day it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And young people, dearly, there be things that you will try to overcome in your flesh. Because as you look around you in this congregation, there are people in this service night, and I ain't excluded from that. But there's times I've tried to do it on my own, and I have fallen flat on my face. Because that's what self always does. Self never succeeds. We live in a world whereby it talks about promoting self and putting self number one. That's not what the scriptures teach me. Scriptures teach me in Matthew 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall..." Know what self produces? Pride. Know what selflessness produces? Humility. And I remember listening to these couple of... They were unconverted people. We'll just use the word worldly, but I don't mean that disrespectfully. But you know what I mean when I say that. And they're making comment about this fella, and he was cocky and he was full of himself. And this lady, this girl, she says, "There's a very beautiful factor about some people's lives," and she says, "and you haven't got 1 ounce of it, and it's called humility." Humility. Sadly, folks, dare I say it, this lack of humility has come into the church. And sadly, sometimes humility is a very rare quality. Now, young people, if you remember nothing else I say to you tonight, you remember this now. Humility is a beautiful quality. In fact, it's one of the most beautiful qualities that anybody can ever see in you. And I'll tell you a wee quick story. And look, our time is well and truly gone. But we're nearly finished. But I went to Donegal, and forgive me if I have told you this wee story, but I can't tell it any better or explain any better. I went to Donegal to do some meetings over in Raffoe Congregational Church, only for one Sunday, and the boy, he took me out for a drop of dinner at the end of his house, and him and I don't even know if Karis was with me, I can't remember, but then he decided, oh, he took me out to his garden, because he's all chuffed with his garden. He says, "Come on, see my garden." So I'll go see this garden. I really don't have a big pile of interest in gardens, but I cut the grass, surely, but I'm not into all them, plants and talking to plants and all that cracker like Prince Charles. But sure, you had to bear with him. If he takes comfort from it, what else do you expect from the critter? But anyway, so I take him out of this garden, and he's going to say, "Young people, he's show me these big trees he's planted." He says, "I planted them whenever I moved here." He says, look how much they've grown. Man, they were standing tall." And I was thinking, well, he's got something to be. You know what I mean? He planted his wee seedling, and look how tall this. And I was looking around the tree garden. I noticed this wee tree over here. And it was not much bigger than, it's not much bigger than maybe 5 foot. I don't know what that is in meters, but just over a meter. Meter and a half or a wee bit more. Less than a couple of meters for you young people, because you not know what a foot is. A foot is something into your foot and into your leg. All right, young people? But it's about 12 inches. Well, anyway, I looked at this wee tree, and that memorized me. You know the word, don't you? You know that's all that matters. That's all that matters to me. You know the word. Well, I was fascinated by this wee tree, and as I looked at it, young people, my attention got away from all these big tall trees that were standing tall, and their leaves all blustling. And this wee tree was, its branches were full of fruit. I didn't see any fruit in these other trees, but I seen loads of fruit in this wee tree. And that what he had done is he'd taken wee branches and he'd propped up the branches with wee sticks. And a very simple lesson I learned that day, and this is my lesson. The tree that bears the most fruit always lies closest to the ground. Humility. It's a terribly rare quality in the church. Sometimes you see it in the Word. Sometimes. But it ought always to be seen in the church. And then says this man Elijah to Elisha, ask what I will do for you when I am taken from you. Now bear in mind, young folk, I mean, if this man of God that called down from the fire of heaven, this man of God that has seen, this man has been in touch with God, and he says, you meet a man of God, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? He could have said, well, look, I want to be a great preacher. I want people to speak as well of me and as highly of me as you have. I want to be able to call down fire from heaven. Imagine if you were asked by a man of God, if you see me when I'm taken into the very presence of God, ask what you want and I'll grant it to you. There are some preachers and they would say, well, I want to be a better preacher. And the reason why they want to be a better preacher is because they want people to get caught up with the preacher rather than about him that they're preaching about. The young man says these words to the old man. He says that a double portion of your spirit might be upon me. Now, I don't know what your translation of that wee verse is, but this is my translation. Agree with me or not, it's up to you, but this is my translation. And this is what I'm convinced of this, young people. The young man says to the old man, he said, what you've got, I want, and I want to be just like you. What was the old man like? The old man was godlike. And so the young man desires to be godly. Young folk in life, at this stage, you have loads of dreams and loads of ambitions and loads of plans, and they ain't bad things. But if you want to walk in God's will and walk in God's way, you've got to surrender those ambitions and plans and desires and give them to God and say, Lord, just like the night before he went to the cross and he says, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And if you want to be godly, like this man, young man, I believe, wanted to be, he wanted to be like his master, he wanted to be godly, then you've got to walk in the same pathway that he walked. You've got to know forgiveness. You've got to walk in fellowship. But realize as well that there'll be giants in your life that you cannot overcome and you'll struggle with. Some people late in the service and they're struggling with depression, heartache. And it seems that they do well one day and they've two bad days and they just don't know how they're going to get through. And the only way they're going to get through is just by simply keeping their eyes fixed on God and take them one day at a time. And on top of that, young people, yes, there'll be things that you won't overcome, but with the help of God and with the denial of self, he'll give grace. So for what reason? That you might walk and live a godly life. Take this wee coat with me, and look, there's a cord eight. Take this wee coat with me tonight, or at home with you young people. And remember it and put yourself in its place. This is primarily youth service, but this can go to some of you older folk as well. If you meet me and you forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus and you neglect him, you've lost everything. It's as simple as that, dear people. Our life here is not to be about us, but it's about him and us. Does that mean we always succeed? Does that mean we always show our lives always glorify the Father. Well, I can't speak for you dear people of Belie Baptist, but I can only speak of myself. And I'm going to be honest, young people, sadly my life does not always glorify the Father. Doesn't always glorify Him. But He is always faithful. And He is always gracious. And He is always merciful. And you see, whenever you feel Him, you can always come home to Him. And like the prodigal son and the prodigal father, prodigal son's father, He's always waiting. And He's ready to run and throw His arms around you and say, I've always loved you. And I've never stopped. It's been my privilege with you today and to share in this your youth Sunday. I'll go on honest and say to you, I really wasn't looking forward to tonight. I wasn't, I'll be honest to say that to you. Sort of dreading it a bit. But you've been very patient. Young ones, you really did do my heart good. I mean that now. So much so, I'm going to get a copy of the CD. Not to listen to myself. I'm going to block it out. I just want the music, but that's all I'm looking for. But you've done my heart good. Can you folk who are a little bit older than these young people, can I encourage you, Nate? Don't be too proud to say, well done. And remember, the two can walk together. The two can walk together. Young ones, you make a difference in Belie Baptist. And you can set an example even to some of these older folk. You can set an example. Don't let anybody despise you because you're young. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray before we sing together. And it's a pen, blessed be you. But Lord, tonight we just take these moments just to thank you for your goodness and your love and your grace toward us. And we are humbled. We are deeply humbled to think of your goodness to us this day. And for these young people and for the homes that they represent, we pray you'll bless them. And maybe some of these young folk come and there's maybe an unsaved parent or parents. May, Lord, even their life and their light in the home be a means of bringing a father or even a mother or a brother or sister to saving faith in Christ Jesus. May that be so, Lord. And may it even be that even tonight in this service, this might be a link in the chain for somebody to come to saving faith in Christ Jesus. And know it is to have their sins rolled away. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing, Blessed Be Your Name. Our time is well and truly gone. You've been so patient. Forgive me if some of you are shooting on to a meeting. I hope I'm not holding you back. But if you feel you have to leave and go on, that's fine. But thank you for your patience with me today. Let's stand as we sing together. And you young ones, now you sing out and you help me all you can. All right. Let's all rise together. Thank you. We bless your name tonight for all your goodness. That name, the scripture says, is a mighty tower, and the righteous run unto it, and they are safe. Thank you for that name that is, the Bible surrounds us, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We pray, Lord, that today might be a day of rejoicing for us as your people, that we might go home tonight rejoicing in thee, not in a denomination or not in people, but rejoicing in thee because of who you are. And we thank you tonight, Lord, without any sense of embarrassment before this congregation. We say, Lord, you are a faithful God and faithful in all things and so gracious and full of mercy. And we're so thankful to you for it. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless these young people and, the Lord, even the children from this morning. Encourage their hearts. And most of all, Lord, we pray that each one of them will become bright lights for you. In your name, amen. God bless you, good people. And God bless you indeed.